there is more for you, that there is a stronger anointing for you. There is a greater comfort and peace and joy for you. Because why? God is for you. In church, if God be for you, who could be against you? I'm just going to share a small thing with you tonight about Peter. Peter was the name given by Jesus, as we know. Before this time, he was known as Simon Barjona, a common Galilean fisherman, somebody that was just skilled at his trade. And Jesus came by one day, and as we all know, began to speak to him as he was casting out nets, if you will. He said, come and follow me, and I will send you out to be fishers of men. And he goes on in Mark 8:29, it says, Peter boldly confesses to Jesus, as Jesus asked, who do you say that I am? Peter's response to that was, you are the Messiah. Peter held Jesus Christ at Caesar Philippi, but denied him 3 times, as we know, in the courtyard of the high priest. He was with Jesus at Capernaum, at the house of Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, on the mountain during the Transfiguration, as well as Gethsemane. As we know, Peter also preached the Pentecost message that opened up, as we know, and it says, you men of Judea and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing is but the 3rd hour of the day, or 9 a.m. But this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in these last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and moon into blood, before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. One of the most notable experiences that Peter ever had, he had a vision of animals coming down out of heaven. And this led him to go and receive the centurion at the time, who was a Gentile, and began to speak to the Judaism council and help them to be more accepting of the Gentile people, thus allowing the Spirit of God and allowing the order of Judaism to be allowed amongst everyone. I wanted to say all that to say this. When you read in the book of Peter, you just have to understand the kind of person that he was and what he had went through and the struggles that he faced. And this word tonight is for those of you that are struggling with something, that feel like that you've had a hard time and that you've been up on the mountain and down in the valley, and it just seems like you can't find any stability. But I want to talk about Peter. Peter was a man that in the beginning just did his craft and his work. And as many of us have, we just got caught in life and busy in life. And all of a sudden, Jesus came by and spoke a calling upon us. For some of us it may be to minister, some of us it may be to teach, some of us it may be to play instruments, some of us it may be to just be generally loving and kind to all those that we meet. But one day Jesus came by and spoke to your heart and your life so that you would have a calling. And there had to be a moment in time, as Peter did, that he had to confess that Jesus was Lord. And if we ever are going to do a work for God, we must confess that he has dominion over everything in our life, over everything that we face, over every adversity, over every enemy, that you are the Messiah, that you are my Savior, that you are the one who is taking care of me. And hallelujah, as we all have come to at some point in time when we are in weakness, Peter began to deny Christ in front of those that he very well should have ministered to. But hallelujah, how many of us have came to church before and felt the power of God in the place, and you knew it was time just to stand up and to give God praise, yet our heart denied by our body language, yet our heart denied by our behavior, and yet our worship was not free as it should have been? How many of us have walked in the shoes of Peter? You may not think that you have, but you'll be surprised to know that a day came when he finally realized that though he had denied Christ, that he still had a work and a calling to do, that he still had a road that he had to journey through. He wasn't here just to walk in the void. He wasn't here just to walk in a gray area, but he was called to do a work that through that work people would be saved. My heart goes out to you tonight, and I've stood with you in these times when in and out of season God has looked for me to not deny him and just to give in and simply say, you are Lord. And you'd be surprised to know that sometimes you'll find it easier to lift your hand in public and say he's Lord than it is in the middle of your trouble to open up your heart and say, I know that you're Lord. Sometimes Christ is not first because of the trouble that we're going through. So for those of you that are struggling in here tonight, God sent this to me this afternoon to simply say to you, when it comes time and you feel that denial wanting to rise up and just to go on with the same old way of life, just to take a few moments and just acknowledge that he is Lord of your life, that he's above the sadness that's in your heart, that he's above the grief that's in your heart, that he's above the debt that you may have, that he's above anything that anybody would create, any dramatic thing, any hearsay, any naysay, any rumors, any rumors. He's above all of that. When we realize that, there's nothing we cannot do, nothing we cannot accomplish, and nobody that we cannot reach. Oh, I thank God tonight that we were in the altar. I thank God tonight that there were a few people in this place that was willing just to acknowledge and say, you are Lord above my trouble. Can you say tonight in this place that he is Lord of your life? Can you give God praise just for 10 seconds and to be thankful for he is Lord over your life? Hallelujah. You know, if the church don't begin to set an example and to begin to stop denying what we feel in our hearts, we will begin to lose the very substance of that which God has given. If you just opened up your lips for 30 seconds and just gave God a praise that you weren't ashamed of, you would begin to feel the presence of the Holy Ghost stirring up in your life. Don't be as Peter was when he denied Christ, but be as Peter was when he stepped out of the boat. Hallelujah. Just open up your mouth and say, thank God. Come on, somebody in here, say, thank God. Somebody in here, say, thank God. Somebody in here, say, hallelujah. Can I get somebody to say hallelujah? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Can you give God a praise that you're proud of? Can you let God know that he is Lord? Can you offer something that the world can't give you? Can you put something out there that somebody can see that God is alive? It's in times like this the devil is stealing our loved ones. It's in times like this, oh, through the hour that people go on home and they don't get blessed. But it's in times that you will not deny that he is Lord, that people will see life and it more abundantly. The trial of your faith, church, is precious when you bear it with joy. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7 says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Christ. Everything that you are wearing tonight, the cars that you're driving, the things that you're paying payments on, that smartphone and tablet that you've invested in, your loved ones that you take care of, everything that you possess fades away. The moment you get it, it begins to depreciate in value. Every time that we lean our trust on anything that we have or any strength that we think we possess, we always come short and feel in weakness. But thank God for a substance that never withers away. Thank God for something that never perishes. Thank God for a spirit that's with me in night and day and in comfort and in stillness. God is God and above all things. The trial of your faith won't be meaningful to you unless you bear it with joy. For those of you that are suffering in this place, I wish that I could enable you and say, it's okay to be upset about this. But how many of us know that God is the one that works for us? Do you believe that he's your teacher? The Word of God begins to talk about that you would bear it with joy. I can't tell you every time that I've felt bad that when I praised God that I felt an immediate help. But Brad, there was a day that came when I'd get up in the morning and everything that I've been carrying for so long had seemed to have left me. And a morning came where I was able to smile. I wouldn't trade those days when I smile for any moment that I suffered. Every time that I feel low, I'm learning now just to smile, because it's in the joy that you bear of God and not of you that gives you strength. The Word of God in the Old Testament says that the joy of the Lord is our strength, and that weeping may endure for the night, but joy will come in the morning. Hallelujah. I thank God that even though I face things just like you do, and though I pray and I face things just like everybody else, that there is a substance in my spirit that brings me a smile when my body refuses to. Hallelujah. It gives me a comfort. I wish I could explain it. I wish I could get it out in words, and I just can't. I can't express to you the joy that you would have if you just learned to smile in what you're facing now. Can I get somebody to smile for me tonight? Give me a great big grin from ear to ear. Hallelujah. You don't be ashamed of it, for it's when you bear those burdens with joy that the devil has no dominion. He has no power. I can't wait for the day that we come in smiling instead of looking like that somebody stabbed us in the back. The only thing that will help you in your time of trouble is that you bear it with joy. As we all know, it's easy to hide behind a smile, but that smile is not the one I'm talking about. I could grin, and I've done this. I could grin, and oh, I could just change my voice and be like, hello, everything's wonderful. Everything's just fine. Nothing's going wrong. But do we live in reality or do we live in fiction? Best that I know, I live in reality. Reality serves me to believe that when I get up, sometimes my back hurts so bad that I can't even straighten up. Some days I go to get a bowl of cereal and there's no milk. Sometimes I go to grab my cell phone to make a call and it's dead. Sometimes I get in the car when it's 20 degrees and there's not enough gas in it to get up to the gas station. Some days reality sets in and the trials of life will begin to discourage us in some way, in as much that when our heart gets weary, we take our focus off of where the true meaning of the trial of your faith is. The trial of your faith is not for you to settle for being upset. If we were able to bear this on our own, you wouldn't be here. You wouldn't keep coming. There has to be something in you that makes you believe. A substance of things to hope for. Things that we cannot see, though we may suffer a little while. And this is what I've told myself lately. It's not forever. We may hurt today, but you've got to be hopeful for what tomorrow will bring. You may be heartbroken today, but you've got to look forward to something other than what you're feeling now. I don't know what is going to come for me, but as for me, I'm going to smile. I'm so tired of the same old thing. I'm so tired of thinking I'm going to pray and not just getting down and praying. Come on now. I'm preaching on some of us right there. Just the thought of, oh, I'm going to pray is not good enough to take care of you. Just the thought of, oh, I know I need to read is not enough to take care of your mind. Just enough to say, well, I'll stand up and praise the Lord when everybody in the church stands up and praises God is not good enough. You have to bear something in you that when your countenance comes in the presence of others, that they're able to receive of you the love of God that's in you. I can honestly confess that I've let so many people down by my countenance that I'm ashamed of it. Not been open to hear people out, not been open to listen, not been open to understand and to come and pray and just and see people suffering. But because I was suffering, I thought that was good enough. I'm preaching on some of us there. If you can't understand this, if we don't get a hold of anything else, get a hold of this. You may think you're here for you because you're in this place. But it's more than just about you. And I must confess that if it were up to me, I would have already gave up what I'd done here. Went around and just found some place where I could sit in the corner and be comfortable. But one day I realized that it wasn't about me. That it's not about just what I face, that when I see my brothers and sisters suffering, that it causes my heart to open up with compassion. This was the very virtue of Christ and the very ministry that he built every foundation that anybody ever ministered about on. He called Peter his rock. In Greek, it was Cephas. It was something that was solid, steadfast. How can you name somebody after a rock when they denied Christ? Good question. We're going to address it right here and now. Though we may fail in denying Christ, there is no benefit of the doubt to know that the foundation is still solid. You may choose to step off of Jesus Christ as Lord of everything, but that's not to say that it's still not just as solid as when you left it. We can come in and have a great time and have church that we'll brag about, or we can step off the foundation of faith and go out and talk about how bad church is and then wonder why the numbers just all of a sudden disappear. We'll find ourselves trying to go church to church and find somewhere where we can fit in, but we never find the right place. It's like a circle going in a square. We never feel like that we're in on where we should be. But the truth be told, every time we're off the foundation of Christ, where we're not putting our trust in Him and not a building, in Him and not a preacher, in Him and not a singer, in Him and not a place or a venue or a style of worship, when we have our trust in Christ, it's solid. When we go to the nursing home, they can't get here, but the same God that I believe in is the same God that they have. There are people that are ill right now, and they may not ever get back in the church doors, but it's the same God for them as it is for you in this place. You can take advantage of not worshiping God if you want to, but as for me and my house, I'm going to praise Him like it's the last time that I'm going to get to praise Him. You don't know what's coming up. You don't know what's coming your way. As for me and my house, I'm not going to deny the very one who is the one that blesses me. Glory. Another thought in the book of Peter. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, what you have known and what other people have tried to teach you to know, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. The second thing I say to you tonight is that the blood of Jesus is only precious to you if you are redeemed. If Jesus Christ is Lord of your life, and I don't know who this may be for, when He has dominion over everything and you know that He has redeemed you from present suffering, redeemed you from future suffering, that has forgiven you of your past, when you lock into that kind of faith and belief, it becomes precious. You know, I wish I could just take every bit of my gross income and keep piling it up and continue to acquire everything I ever want. But you know what God's taught me? Jared, you're not going to get it. You know, I thought it was a pretty good idea to get a Lamborghini one day. You know, when you retire and get something nice to drive. You know, get a nice house and make all life's conveniences easy. But the reality is there's just some things that my hands will never touch. There'll be mansions that my feet never trod. There'll be cars I'll never get to cruise in. I'll watch them go by, but they won't be mine. One thing I've realized is though I may own a lot or a little, come in possession of a lot or a little, be in high times or dry times, that irregardless of what I have, as long as I have the blood of Jesus, it's all that I've ever needed. It's what I got when I didn't have anything. And it's what I have when I have a little today. And though I may not get very much more in the rest of my life, and all that I do the rest of my life is just sit at a computer, and that's fine with me. Because if I have Jesus, I have everything. If you know that you are redeemed, then you have all the reason in the world to come in and worship. You don't have to wonder when it will be your time or when you can feel it before you get up and do it. You don't have to wait just on how your feeling and your emotions would trigger you to feel. But sometimes it's a discipline. God, you've done it for me before. God, you've moved for me in yesterday. So for today, I'm going to praise you the same as I did when I was in need yesterday. You've got to come in ready with your mind made up and not let anything steal the joy of the Lord. Oh man, I went 20 years waiting around for a feeling, and sometimes there just wasn't a church service that was good enough to get me up so that I would give God praise. But then I learned some things because I went through a lot of hard times, and one day I realized that when God delivered me in a living room, that it didn't have to do with a church, and it didn't have to do with a bunch of people coming together and shouting, but it was in what I already knew that Jesus had already done. It's the reason I keep on preaching. It's the reason that I love you. It's the reason that I go on. It's the reason I take another step in everything that's going on in my life. I'll close with this thought tonight. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay a Sion, a chief cornerstone elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed or rejected, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. I'll go ahead and tell you this tonight, and I was looking forward to this part. I could sit down and never preach again, but you're going to go to churches somewhere where they're going to preach all over you. And all the preachers that's in this place could be tied up and kidnapped somewhere, but I want you to know that if we couldn't preach the Word of God, that the Word of God would even come out of a child to speak to you. And you may feel like that you're doing some people's service when you sit back and disobey God, but I want you to know that that's not standing on the cornerstone that I know. When it's talking about being the head of the corner, that means that we put ourselves above the stone and put ourselves above God's way. But how many of us know that God's ways are above our ways? And He knows all and He sees all. And He is in control of your life. He's in control of everything you face. I know tonight that if I gave it up today, that the Word would come some other means, some other way. Oh, I can't stand being preached on. Oh, man. Oh, I just feel like everything I've ever done, I can't ever do good enough. When you have that kind of word come on you, there is a reason for the feeling. It is not because the preacher has a problem with you. It's not because he called somebody and got your life story before he came to church. And it's certainly not because that he has an odd against you based on how you look, where you came from, or what you're wearing. The Word of God is a spiritual leader. And whether it come through me or come through somebody that's never preached before, it's still going to preach all over you for a reason. For when we are in trials and we offer ourselves, there is a time where we should learn from our ways and change from the things that we face. If God delivered you from depression at any point, lift up your hand in this place. I want you to know that those of you bold enough to confess that God's going to deliver you when you have it in the future, and He's going to deliver it when you're in the last days of your life. How many of us have been sick before and God heal you? I want you to know it's the same Redeemer that's going to take care of you, that took care of you back then. How many of us have been addicted? I've been addicted, but I know it's the same God that delivered me. It's the same God that's going to deliver all of our loved ones and our children. We have got to stop trying to own everything, including the will of our life. You were not created for you to own the will of your life. Man was created in its purpose to have fellowship with God. It is meant for you to be able to walk in the cool of the day and have God come down to bless you. It is meant for you to come into church and actually have a good time. If everybody else is miserable about their salvation, let them go ahead and do that. But don't let that change who your Redeemer is. God raises up a very peculiar people to be disciples. Many are called, church, but few are chosen. You are chosen when you choose to serve Him. There are many people that deny the calling. They hear it, they know it, and they walk away from it. Whether in fear, in confusion, whether somebody's talked them out of it or told them they weren't good enough to do it. Many reasons in the world that we can walk away from our calling. And when I think about it, it's in times like these that God brings me to life. I could have very well stayed home, but what good does it do to live in our own way? When you live for you, you stand in your own way. If you want an example, take many of those that you're praying for. They believe they're doing everything they need to be doing and that it's good enough for them to live and have purpose and have meaning. But many people that you'll find, if you get to know them deep down on the inside, are broken from things they've went through and are looking for somebody more than just family to understand what it is that they're going through. Our young people today are looking for somebody I don't care if you're kin to them or not. There's so many of them that's going out without a hope, walking into bad decisions here and there, simply because somebody just doesn't take 10 seconds and let God shine through them. It's more than just asking somebody if they're saved. They can have knowledge of the Redeemer, but it doesn't mean anything until you show them what it means to you. If you want people to come to your church, you can advertise on the radio. You can put it in the newspaper. You can literally tell everybody that you breathe breath in front of. But you know when it means the most? When you let them know about what it means to you. It's not a battle to get in the presence of God. For when you make up your mind, come in with a made up mind. Not a mind easily changed, easily distracted. But come in with purpose. You will see the blessings begin to come your way. Not blessings so much as monetary, but just so much as to prepare you for even when you don't have it yet. And I'm standing in those seasons. I have so many things I want to do more of, but I need help in it. And I need resources. And I need more for the ministry. And I don't see it yet. It's okay. Because I'm serving Him now. And when you give the best that you can give, when tomorrow comes, that help will come your way. The fundamental verse of the Bible for me is this: if you seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, all the other things will be added to you.